And will you turn with me in the Psalms to Psalm 107? And we're going to read Psalm 107 just now. Yes, we've sung a portion of it. And as perhaps you may have guessed, this evening and over the next number of Lord's Day evenings, we're going to camp out in Psalm 107. It's a psalm of thanksgiving and very appropriate to the season. We, as you find the psalm, maybe to help orient you to it, we don't always or perhaps often think of the book of Psalms as being a page-turner. But we're learning, I hope, that the Psalter is not a random collection of psalms. There is a structure, there is progression. And book four of the Psalms, which concludes with Psalm 106, book four of the Psalms ends on something of a cliffhanger. We are God's people, in verse 47, crying out, "Save us, O Lord our God, gather us from among the nations." And we're wondering what is going to be the response to that, because that kind of cry is maybe the kind of cry that, well, has come from out of our own experience. Save us. It's literally a cry for help. And if you've ever felt the urge to cry out for help, Psalm 107 comes as an assurance that God does help. The Holy Spirit invites us to listen to the testimonies of individuals who have experienced the deliverance of God. Now, that's what Psalm 107 is about. We're going to read the entirety of the psalm, and then we're going to zero in on verses 1 through 3 in our sermon this evening. Psalm 107, beginning at verse 1, listen, this is the word of our God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous deeds to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships doing business, on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they were diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. That's God's word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this testimony, and we thank you for these exhortations to consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And we ask this evening that as we gather around your word, that you would direct our attention to your steadfast love, that our hearts might be glad, and that we might indeed declare the Lord is good, and do so with wholehearted fervor and delight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are. You're probably already beginning to sense something of the year-end rush, and maybe it's been a whole year of rushing, and maybe yes, more than once you've said, "Save us, O Lord." Those words that bring to a close the 106th Psalm, and maybe you think about your own circumstances. Maybe during this thank offering season, you're reflecting on the work of Jesus' church, the work of home missions, the work of foreign missions, the works of Christian education. What's going on out there? Is the Lord at work in our society? Is he at work in the world? Is the Lord gathering in his people from among the nations? At the end of Psalm 106, gather us from among the nations. Is the Lord doing that? What's the state of play? Maybe you've been following with a keen and prayerful interest the things going on in our presbytery, and perhaps you're concerned. Yes, good things are happening, but you know there have been upsets as well. A word of a mission work that's due to close down in a few weeks' time, a word of other issues going on. Yes, there's a, what's going on? Is the Lord accomplishing his purpose? Maybe you're contemplating God's work here at Knox. What is the Lord doing? Is he advancing his purpose? Is there a cause for thanksgiving this Thanksgiving season? And maybe you're looking at your own experience and contemplating your own growth in grace, your own walk with the Lord. And yes, there are ups and there are downs. And what's going on? Psalm 107, the concluding words of Psalm 107, "Let whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this evening I want to draw you back to the steadfast love of the Lord and encourage you to draw your gaze away from the other things that might agitate and perplex you, and allow your gaze to rest on the goodness of our God. Here are some examples given for us to consider. The psalmist sets them out before us, that our hearts might be reassured and that we might be comforted to know that God is indeed accomplishing His purpose. He is saving. He is gathering out a people to the praise of His glorious grace. And tonight, looking at the first three verses of Psalm 107, the psalmist sets the stage for us. He begins to orient us to the things that he's going to recount for us for our encouragement. And he does so in order that we might give thanks to the Lord, because the Lord is good. Look at these three verses with me. In verse 1, we see the Lord's character. In verse 2, we hear the Lord's witnesses. And in verse 3, we glimpse the Lord's assembly. Three simple things for us to get a handle on this evening. And the first is the character of God. The psalmist sets before us right up front the character of God. And perhaps you have doubted or questioned the character of God. What is God doing? Who is God? What kind of God is He? And the psalmist says, the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That's something you need to know about God. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. I know you knew that already, didn't you? But it's important for you and for me that we be reminded of it. The testimony of God's people is that the Lord is good, that His steadfast love endures forever. Oh yes, those words are words that get repeated over and over and over. This is not the only place in the scripture, in the Psalms, where that statement is made. It's not the only place in the Scriptures where that statement is made. We heard it made earlier at the beginning of Psalm 106 in our call to worship. The Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever. And even then, with Psalm 106, those words are reflected elsewhere in the throughout the Psalter. And as we read further afield in the Scripture, we know that those words have reverberated from the lips of God's people on a variety of different occasions, not just in the case of public worship as reflected in the Psalms, but way back in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, as the ark is brought up into the temple in Jerusalem, as God secures the place where His people will live, the land where they will live, the place where He will be worshipped, as the ark is brought in triumphal procession into the city of Jerusalem, the crowd erupts in cheers and shouts, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Words that were to be echoed a generation later as Solomon consecrated the temple. And again in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the crowd crying out, "The Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, as the glory of God descends into the temple and occupies the holy place, and that structure radiates with the awesome glory of the living God, the people led by the Levites cry out in wonder and amazement, "The Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever." God is a God who assures His people of His presence among them to bless them. And of course, what the Old Testament saints of God perceived and recognized is but a foreshadowing of what we as the New Testament people have experienced, because Jesus, God the Son, has come among his people. He has come among us. We have seen his glory, the apostles testify, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. And Paul, writing to Titus, speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus, says, when the goodness and loving kindness of our God came, was manifest, he saved us, not by the deeds of righteousness that we have done, but by the saving work of the Lord Jesus. Jesus has come among his people to save and to deliver a greater and more glorious temple, because now the outpoured Holy Spirit of God indwells the people of God, so that we who formerly were scattered, dead and scattered stones, are brought together a living temple indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God himself. And we cry out in recognition of what Jesus has done. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The devil is a great character assassin. The devil does not want you to acknowledge that our God is good. And the devil is going to point out a multitude of discouraging circumstances. He's going to draw your attention to all kinds of aggravations and provocations. And he's going to suggest to you that God is not good, that his steadfast love does not endure forever. And in response to that, the people of God look to the Lord Jesus and say, God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. John, as we read this morning from 1 John chapter 4, John reminds us that God shows his love for us in that Jesus has come into the world. And in the coming of the Lord Jesus, in the life and death and triumphant resurrection of the Lord Jesus, God's people are assured that God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. This morning, as we witnessed a baptism, we remembered again that the Lord's faithful love, the Lord's loving kindness, extends from generation to generation. God's character is a character in which God's people can have the utmost confidence and trust. God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Here's the Lord's character. Verse 2 speaks of the Lord's witnesses. If the Lord is indeed good, if his steadfast love endures forever, that's not something that's to go unremarked. It's not to go unnoticed. It's not to go unheralded. It's not to go without attestation. It's something that's to be declared. It's something that's to be proclaimed. And so the focus falls on the people of God. God's witnesses in verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. If God is good, God has secured for himself a body of people who are able to attest to the fact that God is good. Brothers and sisters, you are those people. The redeemed of the Lord declare that God is good. Those redeemed ones, they've been redeemed from trouble. The Hebrew word for trouble carries with it the idea of people who are oppressed. God has redeemed them from oppression. We can imagine all the different ways in which oppression may have manifested itself. Those who are under stress, those who are pressured, those who are burdened, those who are enslaved, those who are abused, those who are mistreated, those who are ground down by burdens that they are unable to bear by themselves. The redeemed of the Lord are redeemed from trouble. They are bought back. They are delivered. When the Old Testament speaks of redemption, when the Old Testament speaks of redeeming, we immediately think of that not as an impersonal transaction. The word redeemer in the Old Testament is so regularly prefaced by the term kinsman. The one who redeems is not some stranger. The one who redeems, who delivers, is not some random individual. The one who redeems is the kinsman. The work of redemption in the Old Testament was not to be left to strangers. wasn't to be left to unknown people. The work of redemption was a work that was carried out by the next of kin, by people who had a relationship. The Redeemer who came to the rescue. You think of Boaz. The Redeemer who came to the rescue of Ruth in her widowhood and pending destitution. Boaz, the kinsman Redeemer, who assumed responsibility for her and brought her into rest and into prosperity and into productivity. We think of Boaz. We think of the Lord Jesus, the one who has come to us, the one who is born of our born, the one who is flesh of our flesh, the one who is clothed in our nature, the one who is the seed of the woman, who has come as the deliverer to deliver a people from God. Isn't that how the worshiping hosts in heaven celebrate the glories of the Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9? The Lord Jesus, the Lamb who has been slain and with his blood has purchased people for God. Jesus demonstrating the goodness of God. Jesus, in whom the goodness of God has appeared, has shed his blood for the redemption of his people. He is the bridegroom who has given his life for his bride. In the words of the familiar hymn, from heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Jesus has come in demonstration of the goodness of God in order to redeem a people from oppression and bondage, in order that you, the redeemed people, can declare the praises of God. You are the redeemed who say so, who say yes. Amen. God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Peter takes that up in 1 Peter chapter 2 when he uses the language of consecration of the temple. Remember, we said that those words regarding the goodness of God, his steadfast love, those words were associated with the consecration of the Old Testament temple. Peter picks up on that same kind of language in 1 Peter chapter 2 where he says, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We gather in worship, and as we do so, we testify to the fact that God is good. I hope this Lord's Day, as you reflect on the things that you have seen and heard, the things with which you've been confronted, that as you go home this evening, you go home with a deep and settled conviction that God is good, that his steadfast love endures forever. That you have a deep and settled conviction about that that will carry you through whatever the office holds for you tomorrow, that will carry you through whatever task or assignment or difficult situation lies before you on Tuesday, that will enable you to deal with the challenging circumstance on Wednesday, that carries you through the days to come. God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. We have a Thanksgiving service coming up in a week or 10 days' time. And one of the precious aspects of that Thanksgiving service is when the people of God say so. They say, God is good. This is what God has done for me during the past year. Here's how God has blessed me. This is what I'm thankful for. And we, by that testimony, are reminded that God is good. And we give thanks, not just for the goodness of God, but for the witnesses who testify that God is good. Your testimony to the goodness of God is an encouragement to your brothers and sisters, because the devil's whispering in their ears, God's not good. God doesn't care. God's steadfast love is fickle and unreliable. Speak to one another about the goodness of God. God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell the new temple of God, the glory of the new temple that far exceeds that of the old temple, because God the Holy Spirit indwells the living temple that Jesus has established. And you'll remember how Jesus speaks of the coming Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he says to his followers, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Oh, yes, there's an assembly of people who testify to the fact that God is good. Don't we see that beginning to emerge? The Lord Jesus, in whom is manifested the goodness of God, the saving goodness of God, who redeems a people to declare that God is good. Those people, not individuals here or there, but a great body of people. These redeemed ones, says the psalmist in verse 3, they're gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, from every point of the compass. God is gathering in redeemed ones who say, "Amen, the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever." We hear John looking at that great multitude described to us in Revelation chapter 7, the question that's put to him, "Who are these?" The very tentative response, "Sir, you know." Who are they? They're the ones who have been redeemed from the great tribulation. They've gone through trials and difficulties and sorrows and pain and suffering and discouragements, and they have persevered. And now here they are, pictured for us, standing in glory, celebrating the goodness of God. I want you to be encouraged this evening in these ways. First of all, you are not alone. As the writer to the Hebrews says, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, the ones who have gone before you, the ones who have gone before me, who have found that God is faithful. His steadfast love never ceases. It endures to all generations. There is a multitude down through history that bears witness to the fact that God is good. So be encouraged by that. You're not alone. That's why it's so important for you to gather with your fellow witnesses, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, to remind one another that God is good. Not only that, but as John describes for us that great host, these are ones who have come through trial and difficulty. They might have had cause perhaps to question the goodness of God in the midst of their tribulation, in the midst of the trial that they endured, but they didn't. They persevered. They persisted. They continued. They held on by God's grace. And now at last, John sees them assembled, a vast and glorious multitude, the living stones that are gathered together as the glorious temple, the good shepherd who goes out, who seeks out his sheep, the shepherd who goes out to the highways and byways, the wild places, the difficult places, in order to gather in his sheep. And Jesus, you remember, the good shepherd says in John 10, verse 16, there will be one flock and one shepherd. The Lord Jesus gathers in that great multitude. And as we gather, a little gathering on a Lord's Day evening, we remind ourselves, don't we, that God is praised, not just by the group gathered within these walls, but God is praised by the heavenly host. There is a great multitude that testifies to the fact that God is good, that his steadfast love endures forever. And the praise and testimony that God's people begin now in this life is praise and testimony that will be borne to the far reaches of an unimaginable eternity, because God is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and its sweetness and its richness. We pray that we might taste the goodness of our God in it, and that we might go out reassured that you are good, and that we might rejoice that your steadfast love is not, that your love is not a capricious love. It's not a fickle love. It's not an impatient love that grows irritated with us. It is a love that is steadfast and that endures forever. And so we pray that our hearts might be glad and that there might be a continuous song of praise on our lips to the glory of Jesus, in whom the goodness of God has been made manifest. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.